This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Hello, hold on 1 second, I need to do one thing. I'll be 20 seconds.
Oh. Okay. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Hello, how are you?
10 seconds.
That was good, that wasn't it? Not bad.
Yeah.
All right, well, I was
all right, how are you?
Yeah, super duper, super stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, looking forward to this episode. Also, not looking forward to this episode because I feel like you've put it in there to, I don't know, to cause a little rift.
No.
Yeah, no. You are. Look at you, you can't stop smiling about it.
No, I haven't. You don't mind talking to Plymouth fans, do you?
No, not at all.
They'll be in League One next year with us. I don't know.
They will be in it.
Oh god!
There's just so many bad teams in the championship. Like there's definitely probably, I can't say definitely and probably in the same sentence, but I'm going to. There's definitely probably three teams worse than them. That's my verdict.
Well, we might be up there with them. You don't know.
Yeah. If you want, if that's the kind of belief you're going for on this podcast, you never know. By the time this comes out, it might be top again.
Yeah. Right, people, for those of you who don't know, we've got Woody from the band Bastille on.
Who, by the way, I absolutely love. Like, Bastille have a lot of songs on FIFA, so they make up, like, quite a large chunk of, like, the game and my childhood, which was just playing FIFA, coming home.
Hello.
Not you. Hey! Here he is.
Hello, Alf.
You all right?
Yeah, nice to speak to you, Alf, mate. Yeah, no worries.
Sorry. New laptop's back, so you have to reconfigure all the Zoomy bits. I forgot about that. How are we? All right?
Hello. Yeah, good. Really good.
There's some good vibes today, guys. This is great. I love this.
God, you're grinning ear to ear, John.
Oh.
What's happened, John?
Oh, no, he's...
Yeah, I don't know what.
What?
You're frozen. Really...
It'd be essentially the best it ever is because I'm the only guy in the house and it's still this bad.
Are you up the top of the house?
Yeah, I'm up the top, all on me onesies.
How many floors?
Actually, I'm not on the top, all on my ones. I don't know why I said that. There is one, two, four floors. Four floors.
I really want to see this house.
Wouldn't it be great to do a little house tour?
It's huge, yeah. It's ridiculously big.
Is it like a detached? Is it detached house?
No. Like attached on like this big road.
Townhouse?
What do we know what a townhouse is?
You don't know what a townhouse is?
No.
They kind of the clues in the name, really.
Yeah, well, a house in a town, but do I live in a town? I think I live in like a mini village type thing.
Do you know what? I don't know what a townhouse is, no.
Yeah, what is a townhouse?
I saw you Googling.
Now you've said this, made me question. What the fuck's a townhouse?
Is it a terraced house,
what
John?
What is a townhouse? Everything you need to know.
Here we go.
Everything old is new again, and that applies to townhouses. This venerable form of housing, dating back to 17th century Europe, originated in cities, and now can be found in suburbs and exurbs.
I feel like I'm in the suburbs of Manchester, so that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a townhouse.
Yeah.
Blimey. Where's everyone else in the house, John?
A few people are at uni. George is out shopping with his mum, Christmas shopping.
Good old George.
I think Elliot and Kyle are at the gym. Dezza might be in. Dezza might be the only one in, actually. And he actually takes up all the internet, so probably why it's bad.
So you get Woody on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'll be wearing a Plymouth top.
Be nice, John.
Oh, I'm lovely to everybody, Alf, yeah? Sorry, what's your name?
Cool, it's a very cool picture, isn't it? Look.
Yeah, mate, being in a band is probably the coolest thing ever.
I can see his picture, it says connecting to audio, his hair's flailing everywhere, he's looking down very cool.
He's looking down as if to say, I'm the bloody drummer in this band.
Yeah, I'm up here on stage, you're out in the crowd watching me.
Wow.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Sorry, everyone was like, just all three of you frozen in time, looking very concerned. Then you came to life.
I think we got excited that we're talking to someone in a band.
Mm. I mean, I get that like all the time, mate. Yeah, don't worry. I see the other boys in the band, I lose the plot.
Are you sat behind your kit?
I was just going to say, that's the bloody kit, isn't it?
Fucking Stroll on.
That is so cool.
So where the back garden used to be is now a drum studio, which I'm now sat in, came in very handy during COVID, because I had to record album 4 drums in here, but also ended up playing online poker in here quite a bit. So the neighbors sort of saw me stumbling out, clutching bottles of rum.
Really?
Like in an evening.
Is that what musicians do? Play online poker? I love knowing that. Oh, he's gone. And that was the end. Oh, no.
Am I on this fucking BPM?
Oh. Oh, you've frozen. John's frozen. It's only you and me.
No, I'm here. I'm here. I just... No.
John's just being very still.
I couldn't tell if that's like... What? Is that a voice?
What do you mean?
Well, was there not like an effect? Is it just me that's hearing like an effect?
Oh, I think there's a slight effect, yeah. Oh, I think so, yeah.
Very cool.
Alfie, you've been on stage singing.
Well, I don't like to talk about it, David, but... Oh, he's actually... Well, that's made him hang up, but he's said that.
What is it like going on stage? Yeah.
What is it like?
Tell me.
I can tell you what it's like for most people, and I can tell you what it's like for me.
For you?
For me... It is...
Picture. Can you paint a scene for me? Where are you? You're waiting to go on. Where are you?
I will paint you the scene of a festival, because they're the most nerve-wracking. He's back. Just as I was about to massage my own ego. For God's sake.
Hello, sorry.
Hi, how you doing?
Sorry, speaking of the drum machine, we've got some dodgy fucking mesh Wi-Fi situation just to relay the internet out here.
Oh shit!
I live in Brighton. Either end of it is 5G, where my house is just the fucking 19th century. There's just no signal.
I mean, the Wi-Fi is still pretty dreadful.
Is it? I might go jump in the car. I'm gonna drive the road. I'll give you a call back up there. Give us 2 minutes, all right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
This is lovely.
That's a rock star move. That.
This is lovely. Right, whereabouts are you in Brighton?
Preston Park.
Oh yeah. I used to live at Seven Dials.
Oh yeah, shit, literally down the road. Yeah, I'm load of road by like Balfour School.
Yeah. Don't worry. I know. Do you know Ray's Autos?
I don't know, actually. No,
super mechanic. Recommend him.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to Ray's Autos.
Yeah. Go and get in the car.
Okay. Brilliant. Go on.
We'll be back.
Okay. Alfie.
Continue. Yes.
Where are you?
Yes, sorry, I'm setting the scene. I'm at a festival, right? This is how it usually works for me.
What's the festival? What's the festival?
What's a festival? We really are. What's the festival? Sorry. I thought you said, what's a festival? And I thought, this is going to be a bloody long story.
What's a townhouse?
The festival is Let's do Radio 1's Big Weekend.
Whoa, he pulled that out of his back ass.
Name drop. Yeah.
Name drop.
No, what, you've been invited to sing a song?
Sing a few songs. Yeah.
How do you get invited to do that? How do I get on the scene?
You aren't going.
It helps if you... John, that's actually... do you know, music's for everybody, John, apart from you. Apart from misery guts like you.
Probably that's a bit unfair, John.
Music. Yeah.
No, I just think there's a very niche audience for Gary Caldwell song.
Oh, I wouldn't sing a Gary Caldwell song.
Huh. Oh, okay. I'm broad right, out, my apologies, then. Yeah, no worries. Carry on, then.
He writes his own material, John.
That is his own material.
You know, non-Exeter City-based material.
Okay, sorry. Bloody hell. Sorry, guys.
That's all right, yeah. John. Just don't, you know.
I just want to play at a festival, John.
Okay, all right. Well, go for it, son.
Or do I? Let's see if I do. Go on, Alfie.
Okay. So I'm at the festival, right? They've asked me to go sing some songs. I think it was because it was through the BBC. I got played on Radio 1 a few times. And
how?
Good question. So local radio leads to national radio, I usually find. So radio station here in Suffolk. yes, I do, actually. The radio station here in Suffolk. I am a tit. I can't do this. Yeah, I can't do this.
Oh my god.
No, that was the worst. I usually find.
Alfie, you're talking to a couple of friends here, not a.
No, because that's Jesus terrible Christ. That I've said that.
Jesus
Fuck
Christ.
Me. What a wanker. Sorry, I'm swearing now.
It's all right. I'm not Laura Verne, mate. Get out.
Yeah, sorry. I went. Did you see me go into sort of. Oh.
Yeah, let's just chill out. Let's just chill out a bit.
You're right. I really jumped in.
And be normal.
Apologies. So, in my humble experience, I've. When you get played on local radio.
How do you do that? Let's go.
Okay, we're really pinning this back.
If we keep interrupting it, Woody's going to be back.
He keeps just giving me stuff, and I go, I need to know about that now.
Okay. I uploaded my songs about 10 years
ago. How does one do that?
With a computer. and you go on a computer.
Sorry, go on.
The Apple Store in Ipswich, I got it from.
Yeah.
For about 10 years ago, I uploaded a few songs on BBC Introducing. Do you know what that is?
No, what's that?
This is going to blow your mind. It's brilliant.
Well, you can upload songs to a website.
It's called BBC Introducing. You upload your songs. And then... John, I feel like you're really judging David. Just because he doesn't know what a website is, teaching him.
That's like me turning around and going, do you upload podcasts to a website?
It's sounds like it's a website for new singers, new songwriters.
Exactly. It's on the BBC Uploader. And you just upload your song, say a little bit about it. Radio Suffolk will listen to them. And Radio Suffolk will go, well, this sounds quite good. We'll play it on our show.
Okay, and we'll leave it there.
We're still 10 years
old. That's a big car.
Yeah, guess what? So, my missus is working from home today. I was like, what the fuck's the Wi-Fi gone down? Yeah, that was her microwave in her lunch. Turns out that just killed the Wi-Fi.
Oh, the microwave's killed the Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
As in this. But the microwave's stopped now, so you look quite clear.
It better do, yeah. So, can you hear me all right? Can you see me all right? Is everything...
Yeah. Yes.
Apologies, I'm sorry about that.
No, not at all. I've got to say, John, Plymouth's kit, I do like.
Yes, yeah, nice, isn't it? Is it like to tribute, there's the gold trim in tribute to the division winning season.
101 points, yes. Thank you for bringing it up. I'm guessing Exeter having hell written on the front of their shirt is reference to, whatever.
Wow, he's thought of that one, hasn't he? He has thought of that.
That's a pre-written line.
Yeah, that's a pre-written line. Nobody likes a pre-written line.
Do you hate Exeter?
I love the rivalry. So when Exeter were in trouble financially years ago, I was pretty skint at the time. I actually chipped in and donated a tiny amount because, what is football without rivalry?
Wow. Come on, John.
Lovely story, Woody.
John. Stop picking your nose. You're talking to the bloody guest, John. You're picking your nose.
I just scratched my nose.
Would you do that for Plymouth, John?
No.
No, I I don't go out in Exeter probably ever now because I just for fear of getting my head kicked in because I've been so gobby about Exeter Argyle over the last 10 years. Absolutely abusing my platform.
No, yeah, I, you've got to, especially with teams in like in the Southwest. I fully respect, if anyone like goes on to be, you know, really successful like you've been, I think you've got to, like, it's such a good thing to support your local side. And on top of that, the teams in the Southwest that don't get enough recognition. Because like you say, the rivalry is massive. Like, people, I don't think people in the rest of the country really understand. It's huge.
Yeah, it's massive. And yeah, and also, I'm sure you're the same. Like, I mean, I grew up in Plymouth and like, that's when like Man U were like in their pomp in the '90s, and I swear there's more Man U fans in like Devon than there are in like Salford. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Just getting before, buddy.
Getting abused for turning out like brand new Argyle kit at school, or you with your city kit or whatever. But yeah, now so there was a ton of Schadenfreude, and seeing Man U implode is fucking delicious.
Fucking hell, mate. Say what you think. Jesus, you know I support Man United.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I'm not sorry. Just
but just to touch on that kit that we were talking about before, and the team you had and the successful season you had, you thoroughly deserved it. Like over the course of the season, you were amazing. And like it really hurts to say that, but I'm not someone who's going to lie just to be bitter. Like you were unbelievable. Like, although at times it didn't look like you should have got promoted, you just found ways to win, and that's a sign of a really good side. And you pipped Ipswich to the title, which is no easy feat either.
That's Alfie's team, Ipswich.
That's my team.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, you guys.
Who's laughing now, though? Really?
Anyway, I'm happy and content. But as a chippy man of the West Country, as we often get ignored, it's always Wednesday, and Ipswich went up. But who finished above them? No one seems to mention that in the press or the media. It's always big boys are back. Like, yeah, but who beat the big boys? Also, like, the Wednesday fans were vile to us online, like all through last season as well.
Why? Why?
They say, like, oh, you lot of like Tim Pot, you're going to fall away. You're never going to last, et cetera.
Ooh. Right. Okay. Spicy.
Yeah. But, we have one of the best run football clubs in the country. Can't say the same for them. At the present.
Wow, I love this. This is...
You're shooting. Everyone's getting a little bit.
I'm on our phone-in show on the Saturday.
I've got a bet, clearly.
Very nice indeed. So I listen to BBC Radio Devon, and every Saturday, your manager comes on and goes, you know, we played so well, and you know, but they always lose 3-2.
Yeah, I mean, he would rather go down swinging, for sure. Try and win 4-3 rather than 1-0, generally our style. But I think we'll be fine. I mean, like, was it first game of the season against Southampton, losing 2-1 in like the 98th minute? So like a Shea Adams last minute winner. There's no like respect in that. Like, other than I think the Bristol City game, we've not really been like blown away this season. Obviously, we did Norwich 6-2 as well at home, which I'm sure as an Ipswich fan you'd have enjoyed.
I love that one a lot.
So we can definitely mix it. I mean, I think we've scored maybe just behind Ipswich even, and Leeds like definitely one of the highest scoring teams in the league, just also one of the highest conceding. So if we can tighten up a little bit, I think we'll be absolutely fine. I'm not too panicked just yet.
Have you been going to watch them this season?
Yeah, I went to the, which game was it? We lost 2-0 at home. That was grim. Who was it again? I'm going again next month. I've got QPR away. So as I say, I'm based in Brighton. So I'll be up that way. It's not too far to go. And also Kyle from the band is a QPR fan. So I'm going to go with him and his dad, which should be fun.
Right.
And then I'll see home at Christmas time. We play. Also, yeah, obviously me coming out swinging. The Football League. I've stitched this up. 7 years in a row now, we've not had a home game on Boxing Day, I don't think, since about 2015, 2014. It's ridiculous. Wow. Yeah.
Where are you on Boxing Day, Woody? Because normally you're normally pretty close to home on Boxing Day.
We're away at Saints.
Oh, it's not too bad. It's probably one of the
miles away,
closer man. Ones, isn't it, in your division?
It is, yeah. But it's also, it's more the point where, like myself, there's a ton of people who are from Plymouth, end up moving away for work or whatever. Everyone's home Christmas time. Home park would always be rammed Boxing Day because everyone's home. So we sort of get that taken off us basically the last year, 7-8 seasons. Not that I'm bitter or anything, but it would have been convenient if we were at home Boxing Day. But yeah, I've got a few games booked in because the band's off tour now for the best part of a year.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm going.
Cool little thing to say.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, I wish I could say that.
Yeah, but also
is it a cool thing? Does it feel cool?
Or being in a band?
Yeah.
You kind of feel. Also, can we swear on this podcast? I'm already sworn loads.
Very much so.
I feel like a bit of a twat sometimes because the people. Like, also, but it's like there's no way of saying it without sounding like a dickhead. Where you meet someone, it's like, oh, what do you do? And it's always just really ambiguous. Like, oh, I work in music. They're like, okay. They're like, so do you play? Do you make? It's like a little bit of both. Do you play an instrument? Yes, I play drums. And it's just like 20 questions. And it's like, anyone I've heard of? It's like the Bastille. And they're like, what the Pompeii Beto one? Like, yeah. It's like, oh, I've heard of them. It's like, that's a relief. But just the bowling. Wow. So, I'm in a band you might have heard of. You just, there's no way of not sounding like a bit of a bell end.
Yeah. Be a bell end. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy being a bell end, I say.
You've earned the right.
Yeah.
Be more bell end. Okay. I'll take
it. What I want to know is, are you writing an album this year?
We are always writing stuff. So Dan, our singer, fearless leader, and lead creative, he never stops. He's relentless.
Oh, right.
There's a ton of stuff already underway. Anything I tell you now about, oh, it's going to sound like this, like the last album changed 5 times before we actually committed to making it. So
how often do you argue?
Not that often.
That's a lovely question.
How
often do you go, I don't like what you're seeing there?
If something shit, like we'll say, there's like no point in kind of holding it back.
And is it all right? Can everyone accept?
You can be constructive. If you just go, that's garbage. Full stop. That's not helpful. It's like I would do this. Have you thought about doing that?
Yeah.
But we're very fortunate. He's kind of one of the best guys in the game at doing it. So there's not too many instances where he'll need telling that.
How does he? How does he write his songs on a keyboard or something, or on a guitar? Or
he'll often see him like on nights out or whatever. He'll disappear somewhere like behind a bin. And he's just like singing into his phone. He's just getting little ideas in his head like all the time. So he's just, like, his phone, which he still doesn't back up. We told him so many fucking times, like back your phone up because there's about 400 voice notes on there, which could be like future songs or ideas or whatever. Artist for you. What can you do?
That's so
Alfie,
cool.
Can I say that you sing, Alfie, or not?
You can say it. I won't like
you just,
it.
You just said it.
Yeah. Oh god. Is it because you feel like a bell end, Alfie, as well?
Yeah, especially as like I have no success. So then it's like,
well, I wouldn't say that. That's selling yourself short. That's not
alright, I have had a little success. Yeah. No, not relatively. I'm very low down the ladder compared to you, Woody, but
yeah. How do you get up the ladder?
Good question.
How did you get up the ladder, Woody?
Ask me 10 years ago, I'll tell you the secrets. Now it's like the game has changed. Like it's almost unrecognizable to what
in 10 years.
But, yeah, well, we sort of like in an Indiana Jones sort of sneaking under the closing door, just grabbing your hat before it slams down. That was us. We were sort of like, we went through the last dying gasps of like when CD sales really were a thing still. Like we came in literally as streaming really started up, and like we were like the most streamed band in the UK for a couple of years just by dint of us coming out of that time, and that was the new technology. And now it's so obviously like socials heavy and TikTok and all these sorts of things, whereas the fact that we were like our manager find us on MySpace, which for people under a certain age is just it's like OG Twitter, Facebook, whatever.
So you were just writing songs and putting them up on MySpace, and you got found that way?
Sort of, yeah. So I was working with Dan before the bands formed, playing under his name, and it was all very, like, it wasn't like, didn't sound like Bastille at all, does now. It was very left field, like Luke Pedley, quite out there sort of weird tunes. But when I met him, I actually met him because I was broke, living in London, and I was like flyering houses for like drum lessons, just trying to make some money. And he happened to live about 3 roads down from me. So me and my dad did about 1,000 flyers. I got 3 phone calls, 2 for lessons, and 1 from this weird kid down the road. He was like, I need a drummer.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
But yeah, so we did that, and we were kind of like Spinal Tap in terms of, rather than the sort of drummer exploding, we went through about 8 bass players until Will stayed and didn't explode, which was great. And then picked up Kyle, who basically we were like, we've got these new songs. So we played together for about 2 years. And then Dan was writing these like more popular songs, which became the first Bastille tunes. And we were like, we need one more person. And Kyle, we met at a house party a couple of times, and he was literally the only person who called us back. He was like, we need someone else. And worked out for him. And then, yeah, that was 2010 we formed the band properly. And then by that point, we'd sort of done all the groundwork of like playing to completely empty venues and like all the real hard yards under Dan's name. So the band sort of emerged out of nowhere. It appeared, but we knew people already. So hit the ground running, 2011. And then we signed with Virgin EMI, as was, end of 2011. Yeah, just before Christmas.
What does that feel like? What does that feel like?
Everyone thinks like, oh, you signed a record deal. Here's like a massive bag of cash and your life has changed forever. But yes. We actually ended up on less money than when we were working our real jobs before the band signed, because it's like, yeah, you get paid, but then it's like, okay, well, now we need to pay for rehearsal space. We need to pay for tour costs and tax but yeah, we were able to survive. We started out basically as a not that highly like thought of indie band, and then we sort of just kept on touring and growing, and the venues and the crowds kept on getting bigger, and it was like a real slow, steady incline. And then we did 3 singles, and then the third of those, Floors, charted at like number 21, and we were like, this brilliant.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember when that came out. I loved it. Such a tune.
Thank you. It's like, oh my god, we got a top 40 song, like that's it, like we can retire, like, yeah, we completed it. And then the album came out 2 months later, and no one except our booking agent called it. He was sort of like reading the ticket numbers like tea leaves. He's like, I've seen your future, the album's gonna go to number one, just trust me. And I'm like, okay, whatever. No one thought that was gonna happen. And then the midweeks came out and we're number one. We're like, okay.
So you had a super successful album. Did you know it was good? Did you like it? And that was all.
Yeah, like we liked it, but no one thought it was going to be like as big as it was. And even like Pompeii, like we always thought like Floors was our best song. No one really in the camp even called Pompeii. I mean, it's still like it's the song that won't die. It's still trending now on TikTok and stuff, and it's just mad.
Woody, was Pompeii on a FIFA game? I think it was, wasn't it?
No, Pompeii wasn't. So it's the other thing. So we'd been plugging away for years, like I say, like doing like all these mini tours and whatnot. And I'm trying to tell mates from school, whatever, like, I'll come to our gigs, blah, blah, blah. People sort of ignored it. The first time we had a tune on FIFA, my phone just blew up. Like, mate, I didn't realize you're in an actual band. Fucking hell. that was Wait a Living Part 2, was on FIFA 13.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good tune. That's an unbelievable tune.
Which order it was. Then we had a tune called Hangin', which was on FIFA 15. And then we had...
You're making a nice bit of coin off the back of this.
It helps. Mainly if you're the songwriter. But it definitely helps raise your profile for festivals and stuff as well. Massively. And then, what was the other one? Send Them Off was on FIFA 16. So yeah, we had 3 FIFAs. FIFA hat trick.
Woody, I don't know if you spoke about this before a lot, or you get asked it a lot, so apologies if you do, but how did the name come around? How did Bastille become the name?
It's Dan's birthday, so he's born on Bastille Day.
Oh.
Just
simple as that.
Just a reminder that he loves presents and cakes, so please send them through.
Fuck, you've basically lived the life. I've always wondered what it was like. Sounds absolutely lovely.
It's... He was one of the Rolling Stones in his book, I can't remember which one it was, said touring is 5% playing, 95% waiting around.
Yeah, what's the downside of being in a band then?
Accurate. Before I even say that, like, I acknowledge we are in like an incredibly fortunate and blessed position and could be getting sent to Afghan or Iraq or wherever, getting shot at for less than $20,000 a year. So we don't have it hard compared to some people. But it's obviously time away from friends and family. Like, I've got a young family now, like I've got 2 little boys, so time away from them is not ideal. sleep as well. You so say some people are fine, me and a couple of the others sleep fine on tour buses. Some people just don't. They're just sort of, end up like living dead zombies after a while. We're just like sleep deprived, and especially in America, like because the roads there are garbage. So you're lying in your sort of coffin bunk in the back of the bus and just getting shaken to death, going over like potholes. It's like going through re-entry sometimes in the atmosphere. And then, it's like sleep. We're very fortunate. Obviously, we've been doing this for a while now. We've learned how to tour better. Like on the first album, when it was just go, go, go the whole time, just constant promo and chasing these songs around the world, and obviously incredibly fortunate to do so. But you lose perspective of how to look after yourself. So like we kind of gave ourselves cabin fever one US tour by accident because it was winter. Obviously, so like US winters can be pretty brutal, like especially further north you go. So it was kind of going tour bus, dressing room, stage, repeat. And then we're getting really cranky and snapping at each other. And then our tour manager, she was like, have you not even gone outside the last 7 days? We're like, probably not. He's like, go for a fucking walk and go and see where you are. So that was a hard learned lesson where everywhere we go now, even if it's just for an hour, we'll leave the venue, just go and see something local, even if it's just a park or like a statue, or just to get some bearing of where you are, but also just to break it up and actually see some daylight. Because everyone imagines like the backstage of some venues to be like, in your mind, it's like, here's the open bar and here's the unlimited barbecue and here's a room full of amazing women, blah, 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 blah. In reality, it's just like a crappy, like NBA team's striplet changing room with just lockers and just like bleak, like white walls everywhere and no daylight. It's fun. And like, obviously, I love playing. I mean, I get to travel around the world with my mates playing songs we made, which is just like the biggest privilege, and people still keep turning up and seem to care. So I'm very grateful for that. If it's glamour you seek, music ain't it.
What do you do now? What's your day? Do you go down there and just hit the drums?
I should do. So my wife is a financial advisor, and so she's been juggling her actual career, like a real job, and the kids while I've been away. So it's I'm very much picking up a lot of the slack with that now, although they're in school right now. But I do an awful lot of songwriting and producing for other people as well. So it's myself and my friend Matt. We've been working together pretty much since like start of the pandemic. We worked together as a sort of duo for ages now, and now I've got a spreadsheet somewhere. I think I've done like 107 songs with him or something in the last 3 years. And then we've sort of helped to work with and develop some acts as well. So the one we've had most success with recently is a girl called Charlotte Plank. I don't know if you've come across her, but she just had a top 10 single with Rudimental earlier in the year, and she's flying now. So that side of things is like enormous fun, because it's like you get to go and work with these new artists, try and advise them as best you can, like do as I say, not as I did often. Just to try and give them a bit of perspective and help on the way up. And it's enormous fun making music where you all arrive in the morning with nothing and you leave in the evening with this like brand new plaything you just made. Like, we created this new song and everyone's excited about it. And that's like enormous fun. And then they get to go and tour that and spread the word as well. So I'm loving touring still and being part of the band. I would like to do equal measure now, probably the writing stuff on the band stuff. I get like enormous joy out of both.
Woody, what is your favorite song to perform live? Like when it comes on, you're like, this is the one.
Yeah, and what song have you totally bored with?
It wasn't in the set on the last tour, so we just did it. Because again, we've been around for a minute now. We just did a 10-year anniversary tour for the first album.
Wow.
Including playing down at Powderham Castle near Exeter, and some fucking joker paid advertising space on the side of the stage so that the Exeter City logo popped up every 2 or 3 minutes. I wasn't going to rise to it. Maybe a bigger man, but then that prompted a swift costume change in me, and then his Argyle shirt came out for that. I was going to be the bigger man, but no. someone had to lower the tone.
So fun story. My nan actually lives right next to Powderham Castle. Like,
is it your nan that did it?
No, I don't think so. But yeah, so like, whenever people are playing, we like often go across because like it's literally 20 seconds. So yeah.
Oh, ideal. Yeah, it's a nice little spot that. So yeah, we did the first album tour, so we're largely kind of digging out old tunes again. But my favourite to play, which wasn't on that album, is one called Fake It, because I'm a simple creature, and as most drummers are, and that one I get to basically just try and delete the drum kit at the end, just hit it as hard as I fucking can. That's quite fun to do.
Do you sometimes go out of time and go, shit, I'm out of time here?
Not really. I back myself. Like, I'm pretty okay at drums.
How do you drum? How the fuck do you drum? Is my next question.
It's just like anyone can learn it. It's just
no way.
It absolutely can. I could teach anyone. Like, I used to teach drums like years. Like, I could teach anyone.
Is there anything in drumming where you get the yips? I imagine I'd get there and go, fucking hell, I don't know what I'm doing, suddenly.
Yeah. So, I guess kind of coming back to, like, the rigors of touring, this is quite a good story. So, Send Them Off, which is that song I mentioned from FIFA, it's like a very sort of swung hip-hop feel, and the bass drum part on it is quite full-on. It's like, gugum, gugum, gugum. So, like, if you're relaxed, I guess it's like kind of like boxing. Like, if you're tense, think you're gonna get knackered, it's not gonna work. If you're loose, then it's fine, it'll flow. So this was the second album tour. We're like sort of 6 weeks into it, like, so well drilled. I played this song literally 1,000 times. If you combine rehearsals, recording, like, I could do it in my sleep. And we were in Vegas doing our gig. I forget which casino it is. I think it's the Metropolitan, maybe. And the lads from Imagine Dragons live in Vegas, and I know Dan, the drummer, to speak to, and we went out for dinner and whatever, and he came to the show. And he's like, have you played it before? As in this room? I'm like, nah. He's like, all right. He just like stood side of stage, arms folded, like grinning. I was like, what are you on about? It turns out, to soundproof the room, which is like a 4,000 cap venue, the entire room is on springs. So it's like isolates the vibration from the rest of the hotel. So when the crowd started jumping, it was like being at sea. There was like cymbal stands going over the whole thing. I was like, what the? So, and this song was like the first song of the set. So I balls it up mainly because I was literally doing this and going everywhere. And I was like, oh, that's a bit annoying. But it didn't think much of it. And then the next day we did Coachella Festival, which is in the desert.
Cool.
Which is very much not on springs. That's like just the hard solid ground.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that song just got in my head, and then played it, completely ballsed it. I had to basically just sort of like reduce down the part that I was doing. My head just went. I was like, what is going on? Like, I know I can play this in my sleep.
Are they looking at you on stage when they're wondering what's going on?
As in, no one out front would have noticed, but then like I knew. It's like this sort of like the more intricate parts of it were missing.
Hmm.
It took me 3 or 4 weeks to get over it. I'd play it for like an hour, relentlessly in sound check every day. Perfect. Get on stage. Fucked it.
Shit.
Just head completely went.
Shit.
But yeah, something just clicked again, and then it was fine again. And we've like done it on this last tour, and again, I can do it standing on my head. But
yeah,
the brain's a funny thing. Like, you can think yourself out of something
which
should be relatively simple and well practiced. Mm.
When I used to be a character on stage, there were some times where I was sort of in the middle of my set and I'd be going, "Oh, everyone, yeah!" And then my voice would go, "What are you doing?"
Oh, you don't want that.
No, and I'd sort of be detached going, "Why are you doing this?" Ah, oh, it's horrible.
Similarly as well, there's a couple of times where, like, say, for playing a particularly intricate drum part, I mean, like, drummers, well, The approach we take is like, so like a lot of bands, and I won't name names, will have like the majority of their set on backing track, and they'll just like play along to it or play over it, whatever. Our approach is like, we will, like, until we've literally run out of like limbs and digits, everything that could be possibly played, we will play. So I ended up doing, you can see the kit behind me, but I've got like different electronic pads, and I'm doing this mad octopus impression sometimes, just flying around trying to do this bits and bobs. So again, muscle memory is a big thing. When it's worked, when it's drilled, you can be relaxed and all this mad stuff happens. And like you say, when your brain starts thinking, isn't it mad how your four limbs are doing things independently? I'm like, oh,
honestly,
oh god, it's going to do my head. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it. But
fuck,
Woody, this is going to be the, probably the stupidest question you've ever been asked, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
I'll tell you the stupidest question I've been asked after this. Go on, go on.
Okay. I always, whenever I used to watch like people, like drummers on the telly, like in the background or whatever, I always used to think, oh, do you reckon it'd help if they had another set of arms? Or is that a stupid question? Would it hinder you or would it help you if you had another set of arms?
What the fuck?
That is the second stupid question I've asked.
It's a super question.
I didn't think it was going there, John.
I didn't think it was going down that route.
No, because you know, like sometimes you get so used to doing something with the limbs and that you have that maybe adding another set would just be disruptive. But I'd always think, oh, you know what might be helpful to just whack another set of arms out.
You never know. Maybe the extra ones could do like more like simple bits, while the ones you really good with could do.
So who's the guy with one arm? Who's the guy? Oh, is it Def Leppard?
Yeah, Rick Allen.
Mm.
Who his kit? Well, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of his setup. So he's got like 20 pedals off to his left, and each one triggers like a different part of his kit. So he can do a drum roll around his kit with right arm, left hand. So he's literally basically sort of tap dancing on his left side. It's nuts.
Wow. I played cricket against someone with one arm.
Did you?
Good little bowler.
Really? How'd you get on? Smashed him?
No, I respected him. I was like, I respect the ball. Play the ball.
Yeah, right. the stupidest question I've ever been asked was by someone outside a gig in America. Bless her. This girl is like, do y'all have like the internet in England? Like,
wow. Being asked if you'd have two extra arms is the second stupidest question you've ever been asked.
Well, yeah, it's got to be up there, isn't it?
It's the stupidest one I've ever heard someone ask, if that helps, John.
Cheers, Alfie.
Do you know, this hasn't got anything to do with anything, do you know Ben from Royal Blood?
I play five a side with him most weeks, yeah.
Oh, he used to. So when I ran a comedy gig in Brighton, Royal Blood used to be the house band.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I see him. Yeah, I see. Well, they're away in America at the minute. But yeah, I see him. Like,
is he a good drummer? He looks a good drummer.
He's a beast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woody, who was
so
your?
I was talking to. Sorry, go on.
Who was your inspiration when you were younger? Like, did you have a drummer that you looked up to, or did it just become something you liked to do? Or.
Oh yeah, I'd loads. Bands wise, it was like again, both from Devon, like Muse, like a massive one.
Wow, nice.
Sort of pinch yourself moment. We ended up opening up for them on their second Law tour, which was in 2013. So we're going from doing like academies, sort of size venues, to all of a sudden just like you and I playing the Emirates. You're like, okay. So that was, in fact, speaking of Spinal Tap earlier, so we just sort of graduated to like second stage at festival sort of level. Like John Peel stage or whatever, as was. And then we got this, like, what we thought, this, like, massive backdrop made. And it's like, yeah, this is a killer. So it's got, like, album artwork on it. It's Bastille. So it's, like, great. And then we get to the stadium, and they sort of put it up, and it's like, oh, God, there's our little tea towel just flapping in the wind. So we thought it looked really killer. And it's like, oh, this looks like a joke. It's so small. Grew up loving Muse, Smashing Pumpkins, but like my sort of favorite band of all time still was probably Queens of the Stone Age, Dave Grohl still, because he's like for me one of the most musical drummers, because he'll make non-drummers want to air drum along to his parts. You know what I mean? So like his bits are like actual riffs in themselves and hooks, rather than just being busy for the sake of it. It adds to it and pulls people in. So. Yeah, that's the sort of thing I'd always try and emulate if possible.
Did you write the drum part in Pompeii? The do 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 do.
That was Dan actually.
Oh really?
Yeah,
that's iconic.
Yeah, but
it's also such a singer part to come up with. It's like there's no drummer in their right mind would have thought of doing.
Yeah.
But I'm very glad that he did.
Yeah.
So like one drummer that stands out in my mind, like I absolutely love Blink-182. So like Travis Barker is like
beast as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, fucking hate Blink-182. No, I'm not. It's just they keep coming up in conversation. And Sorry, everyone. I've just got this Blink 182.
No, it's okay.
No,
go on. No, go on ahead.
Get it off your chest.
Jig a little.
No, I just I don't like that. Is it new metal? I just struggle with that scene. I'm sorry, everyone.
That's pop punk.
Oh, I love it. I'm. They got announced yesterday as headlining Reading and Leeds, and I'm definitely going as a result. It's unreal.
Yeah, it'll be class.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, I was just saying, I had a friend that saw you, Woody, play Under a Bridge. Is this true?
Oh, yeah.
This was years ago, yes, Under a Bridge, yeah, to about 50 people. What was that about?
That was the early days of when we just signed. It was like, you need to go and do something weird that makes you stand out on promotional. So we did three places. We did Norwich, Under a Bridge with like needles and dog shit and broken glass everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be Norwich, yeah.
And then by a canal or something. And then we did Southampton. We did like a bandstand in a park. And then we did just like a footpath next to Clifton Suspension Bridge in Bristol.
Blimey. I always thought you was lying, honestly. I just thought it just came to my head. I needed to ask you.
No, there's like footage of it there. So it's like, it was us and our tour manager at the time. So like five of us just literally in a van with like battery powered instruments and like a little drum kit with tea towel over it to make it quiet. And it's literally fully unplugged.
Blimey.
It's sort of there like, it's a good idea. Just driven 4 hours to Norwich just to go and play on by towpath. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
May I say, your microwave was fucking powerful. Your Wi-Fi has been spot on. What do you think of Exeter Football Club? Like, do you respect them? Do you think they can go places?
I respect their, like, the way they're run, especially like because the rest of football is an absolute basket case at the minute. Like, what was it? Cardiff lost something like $900,000 a week or something mental when they went up.
Ridiculous.
Like ludicrous sums. So, similar to Exeter, like Argyle went through administration back in 2010-11. And the club came within about 3 hours of like complete and utter liquidation. So having gone from that, it's then you appreciate like when you almost lose it, what you do have. So it's like the fact you've got support that is like stable. I mean, we're incredibly fortunate, like with Simon Hallett, who's just a phenomenal chairman, running the club sensibly. He's like, they've like invested money, but it's into like infrastructure and like making the club profitable 365 and just, yeah, developing talent. Because obviously, like Exeter's academy is the MV, obviously, because you had like Ethan Ampadu and Ollie Watkins and people like that coming through. Because their academy is kind of better than ours at the minute. So
Plymouth's putting a lot of money into their academy.
They just bought the Brickfield site, which is where Plymouth Albion Rugby Club is based. Sorry, excuse me, I have some water. So they're going to have a permanent, is it like Category 2 now, academy? So they're building like all facilities for that. Permanent home for the ladies football team as well. And it's just going to be like, it's just stepped up a whole ton. So, but yeah, for Exeter, obviously they've done something similar. They've done incredible stuff for their academy and the club keeps on punching above its weight all the time, giving us a few bloody noses along the way as well. And again, you need your rival to do well.
I think Exeter and Plymouth love each other.
No, I fucking love beating them. One of the best days of my life, other than getting married and the birth of my children, was, and it's pinned on my Instagram stories if anyone wants to go and look at it. We were on Soccer AM, and it was the day of the Devon Derby away. So this was 2014, Ruben Reid, Patrick, 3-1, thank you very much. And then,
do you remember, John? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, first player to score a hat-trick in a Devon Derby for years, and then the last to do it since. No one's done it since.
No, he smashed that. So, because it was early kickoff, because of police orders, there was a whole rabble of Argyle fans in Exeter Walkabout watching Soccer AM. I scored on Soccer AM wearing an Argyle shirt as he ran off pointing to the back of the shirt, the whole thing. And then someone sent me a video of Exeter Walkabout with the exploding Argyle fans like chucking beer and stuff in the air. That is the nearest I'll ever get to scoring for Argyle, but I'll take it.
That's unreal.
What did you think of Ruben signing for Exeter City? Was that a little bit of a kick in the balls? Because he was like, I remember playing against Ruben thinking, God, I do not want to play against Ruben. I cannot be asked. I'm not even playing and I don't want us to play against Ruben Reed today.
On his day, well, as you've seen, like, he's an absolute beast. Bit of a kick, but he's not the first player to do it, like cross that divide. Obviously, after a lot of signing, Daniel Nardiello didn't go down too well, I think, on your end. They didn't do too much for us, in all fairness, but I don't know. I'm lucky, like, with sort of profile of the band, like I know some players, like past and present, sort of hang out with and chat to, and it's like, obviously,
that's a nice perk.
It is nice, but obviously they're like professionals. And it's like, well, I'm going to go where, I mean, I've got family to feed, etc.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no sort of big judgment on that, I don't think.
You know, when you speak to players, Woody, do you ask them about whether they actually care about those Devon derbies, or to them, is it just another game?
Oh, no, they absolutely love it. So one lad, Maxime Blanchard, used to play for us, like French defender, like sort of talk to him quite often. But he's like long retired now. he could have carried on playing longer, but he's like, after he played at Argyle, like playing in front of a decent sized stadium and the crowds and like Devon derbies, he's like, I miss that intensity and like the vibe that you get, like the excitement. He's like, then playing for like smaller clubs after, he's like, this isn't doing it for me anymore. So he sort of packed it. Yeah, but like they really care about winning and like just the atmosphere and everything. Like, it just sounds incredible.
What's the Norwich Ipswich like, Alfie?
Oh, the old farm.
What's that? The old farm? What does that mean?
That's what some people call it, because it's like the old... It's the old firm. There's lots of farms down here. I'll have to explain it now. So. It's... people say that it's not got much needle, but whenever I've been, it's the atmosphere's great, and it's really, just a deep-seated hatred built up over many, many years, and I love it. When we play this season, it'll be the first time in I don't even know how long, maybe even nearing a decade, that we've played each other. Like, it's been so long. And that'll be...
When is it?
Like, because even... It's December 16th, I think.
Coming up.
You going?
I should be there, David, yes. But I almost get too nervous to go. I'm just sitting there anxious. I've got family that are Norwich fans and stuff, so and like a lot of friends, so it just adds to it.
It's spicy.
But yeah, it's good. Yeah, it is spicy. It is spicy.
I don't know about Woody, but I hate the Devon Derby. It's the worst. Like, I love the game, but like the prospect of playing the game, but then actually being there is like the worst thing ever.
I feel sick.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one last year, ours was a bit dead. There you go. Much like that.
see, I was at the home game for us last season. It wasn't the best atmosphere, but I got the complete opposite vibe. I was like, shit, there's two teams here that are like, there's a lot riding on it for them. And at the time, it felt like a little bit riding on it for us because we weren't completely safe. It wasn't like we were out in the clear. So it was a little bit like, oh God, it was a more tension filled game rather than anything.
But the one at theirs was...
That looked amazing. Spice that
Central.
Game.
Yeah.
Too much spice.
Yeah.
Vindaloo.
A few ciders may have been consumed that night.
No, when our coaches turned up, they're having a right old go at them. Nasty people.
So cross.
Yeah, they were so cross.
Oh, did you get sad?
Well, I was in with the Plymouth lot.
That's brave.
From undercover.
One of us.
Do you want to do the Plymouth quiz? Woody.
Well, then.
Okay.
Woody, I would just like to warn you, strap in, because there could be questions from about the day Plymouth was founded to whenever. There is no structure to these questions whatsoever.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
You got to get on the leaderboard.
Which is
who's top? Like, what's the...
So, Brighton comedian Alex Petrovic. Brighton comedian. He's got 14. Cameron Dawson, Sheffield Wednesday keeper's got 12. Andy Goldstein, can't remember.
You said that last
time. Yeah, you did.
Last time we did this.
All you had to do was go back and listen to the episode.
Funny, write down.
I don't know, 9 or something. Tom Rosenthal, 6. Tom Parry's at the bottom with 3.
Okay, right. No pressure.
Okay. Good luck. Bear with me.
By the way, Tom Parry's questions were utterly ridiculous. He had every single one of his questions was about 50 years before he was born. And they weren't even...
Right, question one. When were the Pilgrims founded?
1886,
you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Put it on his kit.
Wow.
Is it on your kit? Okay. Luck of the draw. Luck of the draw. Who scored the only goal Plymouth have ever scored at Wembley?
Ronnie Morjay.
Okay.
Right, we've got a...
He's, this is very confident.
Oh, there.
Here we go.
I'm sorry, do it.
A little bit of pizzazz in the answers
as
well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like bang. A true performer.
Are you keeping count?
Yeah, I've got him. Don't you worry, I'm a professional.
Question 3. Argyle are one of how many current Football League clubs with a unique last name?
Oh.
12, 13, 14, 15.
14.
Incorrect, 13.
Confidence has taken a hit.
What is the name of the ship on the club crest?
The Mayflower.
Correct.
Also got a tattoo on my arm.
Wow. If you know, you know. This is wonderful. Question 5. For whom did Pelé play when he took an arg...
Santos.
Took on...
Okay, he's not correct. Even letting you finish the question.
We could be on for a record breaker here, boys.
Which club beat Plymouth in the 1984 FA Cup semi-final?
Watford.
Oh, this is just a
joke. I could have told you that.
It's not about you, John.
Question 7. In the 1990s, two famous goalkeepers played for Plymouth. One was Peter Shilton. The other was...
Bruce Gobler.
Yeah, he played for Plymouth, did he?
Yeah.
Didn't Peter Shilton go on to manage Plymouth?
Yeah, he took us to the playoffs and we got done by Burnley.
Oh, shit.
It's a lot of extra knowledge.
Yeah,
now.
This is wonderful. Bathing in your knowledge.
Well, that was my first full season. So my dad took me. We got a season ticket. I was like 7.
Question 8. In 2006, the Pirates of Plymouth Argyle were immortalised in which comic magazine? The Dandy, Roy of the Rovers, Rising Stars of Manga, or Viz?
Viz?
Is that your final question? Final answer?
I guess, answer? Yeah, I don't know. Guessing.
Correct.
Wicked.
This is unreal, question by the 9. Way. This is unreal.
Which Whoa. Current Premier League managers have been in charge of the Pilgrims in the last 5 years? Owen Coyle and Di Matteo. Tony Pulis and Ian Holloway.
Oh,
Tony
come on.
Tony Pulis and Sam Allardyce, or Ian Holloway and Roberto Martinez.
That's easy.
Easy. TP and Holloway.
It's only easy if you know.
Yeah, but that's the same with anything.
If Plymouth ceased to exist later today, which will be the southernmost Football League club?
Football League? So not... Yeah. Not talking National League.
It depends when it was made, the quiz. I think you're going to have to read. Is there multiple choice?
13 years ago.
To Torquay would be.
Exeter, Yeovil, Torquay or Bournemouth?
Oh, Torquay.
Yeah, correct.
But now it would be, I guess, Exeter?
Yeah.
Just?
Okay. Question, what are we on? 11?
We've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 questions, yet we're on 11.
Plymouth Argyle formed in 1886 under what name? The Argyles, Argyle FC, Plymouth FC, Pilgrims FC.
You put it out, Stephen.
Wrong. Argyle FC.
Ooh. Okay. How embarrassing.
It's great. The boat's rocking now.
Plymouth Argyle's stadium home park has what nickname? The Theatre of Greens.
That one.
Green. Correct.
Theatre of Greens. It sounds like a bloody vegetable patch.
All right, John, come on.
Steady, John.
Bit spicy.
It's better that than a poor Newcastle imitation brand.
Oh, that's a classic.
Okay, right. Settle down. Everyone settle down.
Who made the most appearances for Plymouth Argyle? Fred Craig, Sammy Black, Kevin Hodges, Paul Whatton.
Kevin Hodges.
Correct. Fucking hell. How many questions have you got left? Where have we done? 13, John?
Goodness gracious, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 13, yeah. Three more.
Plymouth Argyle won the 2001-2002 third division with how many points?
Oh, question.
95, 98,
102, 105.
102.
Fucking hell, spells.
Yeah.
Coy.
Am I just a sad little virgin in my garden shed that knows that?
I think we're falling in love with you.
A virgin no longer.
Okay. Who was Plymouth Argyle's first ever kit manufacturer? Umbro, Puma, Bukta, Adidas.
I want to say Umbro.
Did you find an answer?
Yes.
Correct. Flipping hell.
Last question, I believe. And David likes to ask his classic question at the end, which I'll let him explain.
Yes, I always ask this question. Okay, here we go. All right, bear with. How old is Barley Mumba? How old is Barley Mumba?
Stand him.
Dog it up. He's 20... I don't know his birthday. 22.
Correct.
Whoa.
That's a round of applause. That is super.
You're top of the leaderboard.
Get in there.
That will never get big.
No, it won't. No.
You've got 14.
What did we just witness?
14 whopping points.
Isn't it 15?
Well, we have 16 questions and you got two wrong.
Oh, what were the two you got wrong?
You got the third question wrong, which was. Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
I can't remember.
Are your joint top then?
The name. There was one about the name.
I got the wrong answer on that.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got to come back on for a little final against.
Yeah, head to head.
Imagine that. We did about 100 questions.
I might be feeling a little bit poorly for that one.
What's your magic question then?
No, that was it. It's always an age related question for the current player or.
You tell?
Do you want my favourite pub quiz question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Theoretically, what is the minimum number of shots you have to play to win a set of tennis?
Oh, God.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, because they could hit it out.
Oh, the minimum.
What's the... You have to... So,
24. No.
To win a game or a set, did you say?
Set.
This might be crazy, but is it two? That is crazy.
That's two.
28.
Final answers?
40.
28.
12.
I thought, oh God, no, I've been a massive twatter.
You can go ace. They can then return double fault. Ace.
I was only thinking one way.
I was thinking one thingy.
Yeah.
Not a whole. Yeah.
That is a great question.
You got any, John, to end the pod? Any sports facts?
Come on, John.
Nah.
See us out with one. An amazing one.
I ain't got any.
You do, mate. Come on.
I've just told you I don't, so if I told you I don't, I can't just...
Okay, spicy.
I got one
alert.
I got one more for you.
Yes, please.
And this one got updated recently. There are 6 players in Test history, cricket now, who scored 1,000 runs, taken 100 wickets and 100 catches.
Okay. 6. Jack Callis.
Yep.
Stuart Broad.
In Botham.
Botham.
Any cricket players?
Hang on a minute. Ooh, Imran Khan.
Nope.
Kapil Dev.
Nope.
Richard Hadley.
Nope.
Who are all these people?
Yeah, I'm fine with you. I've not got a Scooby about cricket.
There's 2 Englishmen, 1 Saffir. So you got 1 Englishman and 1 Saffir so far. 1 Aussie. 2 Windies.
Hang on, this is lovely. So if you guys want to back out and make your lunch. How many? Well, Viv Richards?
Yep.
He's a singer.
Oh!
He's a singer.
He's a fucking singer. Don't you call him?
No, sorry. It's not Viv. Sorry, it's another all-time. Oh. Great,
West Indian. Garfield Sobers.
Yeah, sorry. Yes. So Garfield. Yes. That's 3 out of 6. Aussie should be obvious.
Shane Warne.
Yep.
Suddenly, Alfie and John are very, very impressed.
No, at the opposite.
Or just waiting for the pod to end.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Yeah, you got one Wendy. One Wendy, one Englishman, one of them still playing.
One, I've got to get a West Indian, an Englishman, not Ben Stokes.
Nope.
West Indian.
Played in the 90s, spinner.
Not Phil Simmons.
Nope.
Oh, I'm really aware half of this Zoom call aren't interested.
No pressure from me.
Shall I email you, Woody? Go on.
You'll look him up.
West Indies 90s spinner.
Yeah, Carl Hooper.
Oh, Carl Hooper. Yeah. Fuck. And what's the other one? An Englishman?
Englishman's still playing. All-time great.
Not Jimmy. Jimmy Anderson.
He's been around long enough. He's taken 1,000... scored 1,000 runs.
Yeah. I'm quite happy with that.
You see?
Yeah.
Do you like your cricket, Woody?
I do, yeah. Big fan.
Oh, I'm going to Antigua on Tuesday to watch the cricket.
You bastard. Yeah,
I'm going there because of Viv Richards. I want to go and have a look at his house.
I was there on holiday a few years ago, went to the stadium, saw Windies under 19s against the Wynwood Isles. So, yeah, bit of rum punch in hand. It was
the anthem. I looked at this video of them, these girls in bikinis doing this dance after someone hit a 4, and someone from the Barmy Army was just like way up with them. I thought, oh yeah, fancy with that.
Yeah, tickets booked.
Off my guy. Woody, thanks so much for coming on.
Cheers, Woody.
A pleasure. Also, I should quick mention for fellow drummer Tom Heron from the band Exerts, who is a massive Exeter City fan, who I've also played football with. And when I first pitched up at the game, I had a Argyle shirt on. He had his Exeter shirt on. We looked at each other like, fuck is that?
That. Get him on the pod.
Get him on the pod. He's a top boy.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Woody. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, mate.
You're top of the leaderboard, so you must feel wonderful, mate.